welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New Edition, for New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us here on the program as we come your way Sundays at 7 a.m. and p.m., and we also come your way Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. We stream live at richarddugan.com. There's the link right in the front with that you can click on, and you can listen to the program and also go to the archives and also go to our guest's website, because that's where the information is. We'll be giving you our guest website here in just a little bit. We have a returning guest, hasn't been here since 2012, if you can believe that. Daryl Noak is my guest. He's an inventor, author, coach, entrepreneur, financier, as well as involved in real estate, and also has written a book, and it's basically entitled, it's basically having to do with really fulfilling your life stream, mastering a healthy self-image, the guidebook to real happiness and enormous success. Daryl, welcome back to the program. It's good to talk to you after, 5 years?
It's been a while, Richard.
Indeed it has, and you're still living back in the Southwest there in Arizona, still in Scottsdale, right?
I am.
I don't know how you do it. I've been away 10 years and I couldn't be happier. Well, with the exception of an occasional fire once in a while to keep the adrenaline flowing, the blood flowing. But more power to you, and literally, so that you have enough to run your air conditioner and keep you cool in the winter, it's summertime. I don't miss that at all, or the $250 a month electric bills.
Right.
But I'll tell you that those are the kinds of things that really can hamper someone's success. I'm not talking specifically about the heat or the bills or what have you, but there are circumstances that come along in our lives that, you know, sometimes we don't have control over, and we can get pretty discouraged after a while. We can feel like, there's no tomorrow. It's like, man, I've been working for X number of years, and I just don't feel like I'm getting ahead, and I'm just about ready to give up and join the growing number of homeless people, because at least there I can get a free meal here and there, and you know, find a nice community to live in where the weather isn't too bad year round, and that's why a lot of people come to Santa Barbara and in Southern California, in particular. But I mean, that's the level of discouragement on top of feeling disenfranchised by the system, whether it be through our political system or even the religious institutions or educational, including the financial institutions, that we just, you know, we feel like we've done everything right and nothing is going our way. And you've actually been through some of these types of things, if not others. And I'd like for you to start. Let's reintroduce you to our listening audience by having you give us a synopsis, if you will. You know, take a few minutes and, you know, where did you come from? And when was it that you made the decision that I'm not giving up? I there's a better day tomorrow, and I'm going to live to see it and make it happen, and now make it happen for others.
Well, you know, I'm sure you remember some of the conversation that we had years ago, but I'm the youngest of seven children. We were living in the projects when I was born, and I grew up in some of the projects throughout my life, and I was told by several of my aunts and uncles, siblings, that even as a young child, I would probably walk around the house and say, I'm going to work as hard as I have to, but I'm going to be rich when I grow up. And I had that mindset early on in life. I was so determined to get out of the projects and to be financially successful. And one of the things I learned as I got a little more financially successful was that I needed to be mentally successful as much as I needed to be financially successful, because the mental success precludes the financial success, in my opinion.
So the the catalyst, if you will, as I often prompt our guests on the program, actually goes back into your childhood where you were already telling yourself these things. You were already sort of speaking these positive words or affirmations, if you will, to yourself that you were not going to, just struggle all the days of your life.
I was. I had a second little piece of sort of incident, if you will, or coincidence that I had my sister at age one. I was starting to run out towards the road, and she came running after me. And she, just as she got to me, she literally fell, and she landed on the back of my head. And being 1 year of age, and she was 10 years older than I, she literally crushed my face. And so we were on welfare at the time, and there was no way my mother could afford to get my face fixed. And so I grew up with a crushed nose and a crushed face. And it wasn't until I was 40 years of age that I actually had 11 hours of surgery to reconstruct my nose and reconstruct my face. So I grew up with a lot of kids giving me a hard time about having that crushed nose and crushed face, as well as being poor. So I had sort of a double whammy, I guess, if you might say.
Mm-hmm. Some might say that you are a self-made man, but in actuality, we never do it alone. And your mother played a significant role in this whole process that you have gone through.
Well, she definitely did, and that was a significant part of my life. My mother, for all of my life, told me that don't ever let anybody bring you down to their level. You set your standards and you live to your standards, and you have your own direction that you need to go. And so I did get some really good input from my mother all along the way. But what really set me off was at age 22, my oldest brother gave me back, I'm going to be 62 in September.
Mm-hmm.
And so my oldest brother gave me a set of Zig Ziglar tapes. And of course, that was 40 years ago. And I started listening to those tapes. And it was 6 hours of tape. And I remember very clearly to this day when I started listening to those set of tapes. Within 10 minutes into those tapes, he was saying that you need to listen to these tapes 16 times or more in order for you to cover up the garbage that's in your mind and to really be able to act on what you're listening on to. And I thought to myself at that point, there's no way I'm going to get through 16 times of this stuff, let alone one time. And I, now that I've been through this last 40 years, I realize how negative I was at that point in time, thinking I'm not going to listen to these things 16 times. And then within another 10 minutes, he was saying, I hope that you get a lot out of these tapes. But I, even more so, I hope these tapes get a lot more out of you. And again, this is how negative I was at that point in time. I thought to myself, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. He's going to try to sell me something here in the next statement. And all he really was meaning is that he hoped that I would be so inspired by what he was going to say over the next 6 hours that I would take myself up by the bootstraps and go after it with a vengeance, that I would be successful and I would do the things that would be necessary to really take my life in whatever direction it was. But I was thinking, he's going to try to sell me something. And that's how negative I was. And I thought, I'm not going to continue to listen. But then I thought to myself, my oldest brother had given me this set of tapes, and I told him, he made me promise that I would listen to that set of tapes. And I did. I continued to listen, and by the end of the first hour, I said to myself, I will listen to these tapes 16 times, and I know that I need these tapes, and I will change my life right here, right now. And that was the piece that really turned my life around.
Well, I personally remember Zig Ziglar because back in the 80s, early 90s, it was more the early 90s, I was working for a Christian radio station, and they were running his ministry program at that time. So I remember, and I remember, too, in relation to that, the level of criticism, unwarranted from my opinion, by the Christian community of to his positive thinking and his positivity, if you will, message that, you know, didn't set too well with the traditionalists, if you will, the Orthodox, if you will. And, right. And I thought, my gosh, how can you, you know, he's helping people, you know, leave the guy alone. And I am sure that even you have run into things of that nature where, you know, there are people who, as I kind of mentioned earlier, you know, they've been down a really rough road and, of course, probably hadn't heard your story yet. And I'm going to guess that when you share with them where you've come from, it kind of takes the wind out of their sails as far as any arguments towards their success. And then they start listening to you, right?
I believe so. You know, most of us are bombarded with negativity every day. If you turn the news on, what does the news say to you? Somebody was shot today. Somebody was in a car wreck. So, you know, some terrorist events in today's society. You know, negativity, negativity, negativity. And it is just poured into our heads every day. And one of the things that Zig Ziglar used to say is, you know, why is it important that we feed our mind? You know, he would say, we have what he would consider the $60 part of our body, and that is from the neck down. We feed that every day, and most people feed themselves three times a day. But what from the neck up, he would say, that's the unlimited, the $60 million part of your body, from the neck up, and how often do most people feed it? And that really hit me hard that day when I was 22 years old, and I said, from this day forward, I will feed my mind as if I am starving to death. Because in my mind, I was starving to death in my head. I had a very poor self-esteem. I had a very negative attitude, and I chose that day that I would start feeding my mind, and I would change my life with a vengeance.
And when you're talking with people, even on in a one-on-one situation, and you do coaching, you do if you will, mentoring. What is, from your experience, is there one method in particular that you find most effective to kind of get through that negativity? Because sometimes it can be not only miles deep, but, you know, thick as the earth's crust, so to speak. And it can take a lot to get through. Have you found any particular method or methods? Because, you know, we're all individuals and, you know, we're a little different, each one of us, that seem to, for you, work well in getting through that?
Well, one of the things that every Zig Ziglar, Tony Robbins, myself, you know, all of the great motivators of our time and before have always said, the number one thing that most people never do is they never decide what it is that they want. And so I believe that if you decide that you have a direction, you decide what it is that you want to have, that decision, that motivation really takes on a must-have rather than, you know, it'd be great if something happened. You know, it'd be nice if I won the lottery. It'd be nice if this happened in my life. But if you have a decision and a motivation that says, I must go this direction and I must have this result, that right there, and that's something that you have to get into your own head that you must go this direction and you must achieve this result. And you start working every day. You write it down. I believe that written goals are absolutely imperative. You write it down and you look at it every day and you start walking towards that direction.
Well, I certainly think that making a list or, again, that goal that you talk about is extremely effective, because that is one of the ways in which I met my second wife. And unbeknownst to me at the time, she'd done the same thing. We didn't even know each other. We hadn't even met yet. And yet we wrote these lists, this list of the type of relationship that we wanted and the type of person that we wanted. And you know, here we are today, and it's nearly 20 years since we met. And that can happen in other ways as well. I remember. What are your thoughts on? Do you put, for example, this one concept of a dream board? It's like for ours, we have this bulletin board, if you're a cork board, up on the door. And we pin up there certain representations or symbols, if you will, of things that we want. Or we'll even make a list to put it in an envelope and then tack that up on the dream board. What are your thoughts about something like that? Is that along the same lines?
I absolutely believe that is a fantastic concept. Every one of the people that I've mentioned will always say that you become what you think about most. And so if you have a dream board, you have a vision board, that you are going to naturally gravitate towards those directions and those thoughts.
It reminds me of a biblical passage. And of course, as we have been speaking of Zig Ziglar, and I know that others have written along the same lines. I think it was Norman Vincent Peale, "As a man thinketh, so is he." And I used to think about that from the standpoint of a double-edged sword, that on the one hand, as you've just described, as you think about yourself, that's the direction you're going to go in terms of the thoughts that you put in your mind. That's why I encourage people to be careful about the movies or television programs that they watch, the radio programs they listen to, the music, the books they read, and so on and so forth. But the other edge of that sword is where you are is based upon how you've been thinking about yourself.
Right. I totally agree. And I love that statement that you just made, Richard. You have to watch what you put in your mind, because you're going to become what you put in your mind. And so in the television, the movies, the music, I don't want to tell people that they shouldn't enjoy their life, and what someone enjoys is not my dictation for them. But if you're generally putting negativity in your head by the movies, the music, the TV, the friends that you choose, you become who you hang around. And so you become what you hang around. And so, like you said, the movies, the television, and on, if you want to be successful and you aren't feeling sorry for yourself that, oh, look at me, here's what I've been dealt in life. Well, I can tell you, I was dealt quite a hand in life. I grew up in the projects. I had a crushed face with kids telling me that I was ugly, I was, you know, gross, you know, all of those things talk about negativity, but I made the decision that I would not allow that in my head any longer. And I choose never to go to movies or listen to music or watch the television of things that are going to be negative. I choose to only put positive, healthy thoughts in my head. In fact, one of the things that I believe was a real help for me is I wrote out a statement that I put on my mirror every day. I would read this to myself every day, and I believe that when you look at yourself and you say these things with a significant amount of passion, the more passion that you say it with, the deeper and the faster it goes into your head. But I wrote out this statement for myself to learn to live by, and it's simply, I like myself, I love my life, I'm excited, I'm happy, I'm healthy, and I add brightness to the life of everyone I meet. And I immersed myself in that thought every day. And I literally still have that. I've made this into a card, by the way, 4x6 card. And I still have this at almost 62 years of age, setting out so that I see it all the time.
So what you're telling us is that you have not achieved that total, shall we say, position where you don't need those anymore, that you're just as, if you will, just as human as the rest of us, and that you still need the encouragement, if you will, of these outward symbols.
I believe that if we allow ourselves to not continue to feed our mind, we allow ourselves to slip back into some forms of negativity. And so I just made the decision a long time ago that I would feed my mind with good, positive, healthy information every day, because I knew, you know, Zig Ziglar always used to have a saying that you can have everything in life that you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I really truly believe that to be true. If you just work to make yourself happy and to buy and spoil yourself, you'll never be happy, in my opinion. Mm. If you're always working to help others and you are looking to be an assistant to another person, you're always looking to make other people happy, that makes you happy. And so true happiness comes from helping others, not from buying yourself another gold chain to go around your neck or another car or another ring or you know, another set of expensive clothing. Those things really don't give you the happiness that if you're thinking of other people, that truly, I believe one of the statements I've said to myself and others for years, the reasons that I have been as successful as I have been, and I will say to the audience, I grew up in the ghetto, but I literally, my companies have generated more than $4 billion in my lifetime so far. And I did all of that because I always said to myself, I care more about my customer than I care about the money. But if you care about your customer, you care about others, everybody wants to help you be successful. And I never not ask, is there anything that you can see that you believe that I could do that would help me be more successful? People always want to help you if you just are humble enough to ask.
We're talking with Daryl Noak, and he is, as you can hear, a self-made individual. We use that term loosely because we both acknowledge the fact that we never do this on our own. There's always one or more people who have influenced us. In this case, his mother as well as Zig Ziglar. I have a few mentors in my life who some of them are still alive. Often I quote my dad, who is one of those as well. We're going to come back and we're going to talk more about all of this and see if we can't get some step-by-step instructions, because those are always helpful, as well as talking about something else that I think that would be most interesting for you to acquire through his website, and we'll give that out in just a moment. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned.
Stories, I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you so much for staying with us. We're talking with Daryl Noak, and he is available to you. That is correct, folks. He has a website, and he has all kinds of great information. But, Daryl, you also have, and by the way, before I go any further, why don't I give out the website? It is darylnoak.com. That's darylknoch.com. Again, darylknoch.com. You have something also that is rather interesting, in addition to, you know, some of the other things that you've created for yourself. Something else that you've created for folks, and I don't, and again, I'm not sure if this is still available. You'll certainly let me know. But you also talk about what is called a gratitude coin. Talk to me about that.
Well, several years ago, I was thinking to myself, I was literally driving home from a talk that I had given, and I was daydreaming, and I encourage people to daydream. In fact, I put out a little statement on my Facebook page the other day that said, just because you've had a nightmare doesn't mean you shouldn't continue to dream. I'm a daydreamer, and I believe that dreams are what starts you having excitement to go where you want to go. If you're always dreaming and you're always excited about where you're going, life is so much better. And so I was daydreaming on the way home, and I was thinking, at the time, my company had gotten to the point where we were doing about $300 million a year in revenue, which in most cases people would think that's pretty successful. And it was. We were a very successful company, and it was a company that I happened to own, but of course there were many people that worked there with me and for me. Those people helped me make this happen just as much, if not more, than I did. I may have had the daydream, and I may have had the vision, and I may have had the drive to put it together and be running down that road, but so many people are involved in anyone's success. And the more successful you are, the bigger your organization has to be. So I was driving down the road, and I was daydreaming. Here I am. Our company is generating $300 million-plus a year. And I keep thinking to myself, man, I want to be more successful. You know, what's life going to be like when we're doing $500 million a year and then a billion? And, you know, I used to daydream about what my life was going to be when. And I was sitting there daydreaming about that, and I was thinking to myself, you know what? You need a change. You need a change, and you need a change right here, right now, again. And I thought, what? I need something that I can touch every day that will remind me to be more grateful, happier, healthier, right here, right now, today, not tomorrow, right here, right now. And I was daydreaming and thinking, what could I do? What could I have? And it just hit me. You know, I'm always reaching into my pocket I'm, you know, anytime you go in and you buy something, they're always giving you some change. And as a man, I'm putting that in my front pocket, and it just hit me. I could design a coin that would, every time I touched it, it would remind me to be more grateful. So I literally pulled over the side of the road. I had a little pad that I carry with me. I've always carried with me, and I pulled over and I started designing, and naturally thinking about being grateful, I called it a gratitude coin. And on the face side of it, it literally says gratitude coin. And then I thought, it's going to have two sides of it, so what am I going to put on the second side? And I thought, I'm going to put, I am grateful for, dot, 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 because I needed to ask myself that question every day. And over the course of the years, I literally have given out more than 70,000 of those coins to people that I'm grateful for. And also, I started giving them out to schools, and schools have been using them all over the country and, in fact, all over the world. I've shipped coins to places that I would never recognize the name. I really believe that gratitude is one of those foundational stones of happiness.
And people can get these coins through your website?
Yep. I will send out a gratitude coin to anybody that sends me an email and asks me, and you can send that through the website. I just literally sent a gratitude coin to a lady in England last week. She had said that some things had gone on in her life that she just really felt like she needed that gratitude coin to remind her. I've always said that no matter how much you have, somebody always has more.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side of that, no matter how little you have, someone always has less. And they'd be grateful for whatever encouragement or whatever you might be able to help them with. And so that's why I started sending gratitude coins out, is I felt like that could be my little positive statement to so many people around the world, that I could touch their life in just a little way of giving out a gratitude coin. And I tell people all the time, I know this is a little boastful, but I say to people, I am changing the world every time I give a gratitude coin out. Because every time I give a gratitude coin out, I might be at a restaurant, I might be at a sales counter, and somebody has given me a great smile. I have the local bank that I bank at. They've taken care of me really well, and I will give them a gratitude coin and say, I really appreciate what a great job you've done in helping me take care of this issue, or you've given me a smile as you've given me my food today, or you really gave me a great attitude as you helped me buy this shirt today, and I want you to have this gratitude coin because I want you to know how grateful I am that you have been in my life today and given me that great smile, that great attitude, whatever customer service that you've given me. And I say, I want to say thank you in a way that you'll never forget that I said thank you. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that I've touched a lot of people's life that way.
Well, and I have to say that I couldn't agree with you more in terms of the fact that you're changing people's lives. You're changing the world. You know, it's interesting how when I talk with people and we discuss some of these sayings that we learned, especially as kids, and what I have found is, and I've shared this many times on this program, two in particular I have found are not true. And one of them is, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And as children growing up, that is not true. The first part's certainly true, but not the second part. Because children have not yet learned, if you will, ways in which they can not take certain things personally. They don't take them in. And it's taken me many years. I can share with you really quickly here that I had an experience at a radio station back in the 90s, the same station, where my boss at the time, he showed up at the station. I had done something that he didn't like, and he basically read me the riot act. I could not sleep for 3 days. And finally, I remembered at the time, while he was reading the riot act, I could not remember what I had done. And then I remembered, and 3 days later, I said, you need to come out here. We need to talk. And I shared with him this, and he was, I mean, beyond apologetic. 10 years later, I had a similar situation with a new boss, only the old boss was also working in the same office as the new boss, the old boss that I'd had that first incident with. Only this time I knew I hadn't done anything wrong. I remembered what it was that I had done, and I actually had to keep myself from laughing in this gentleman's face, not in a rude way, but just, I can't believe how funny that I feel like I'm living deja vu, but this time I'm not taking it in. And I was able to sleep just fine that night because I had learned the lessons I needed to learn so that, and what was real interesting was because that other gentleman, the old boss was in the same room, I thought, wow, I think my business with him specifically is finally done. And shortly thereafter, the radio station was sold and we were all let go. And the business, and that's one of the things that I've really kind of looked at, Daryl, is when certain people come in and out of your life, your business with them or their business with you isn't done yet. Now, I didn't have any bitterness or hatred or anything like that towards these folks, but I just thought, how odd. I left that station 10 years ago. And here they're coming back again. I thought I was finished. But the universe was saying, no, you're not finished. But I finally did finish my business with them, and I moved on, and I have not seen nor heard of them since. As far as I know, the gentleman, the first boss, he's since passed away. Maybe even the second one as well. I don't know. But I know that the lessons learned in that particular example have gone a long way for me, and I share them with you. I share them with the people that listen to this program and other people that I talk with, just to say, hey, you know, we do have to learn how not to take this stuff in. That this isn't our stuff; it's theirs, and they're venting, and they're going off for whatever reason that we may or may not understand, and so somehow we need to find ways of protecting ourselves from that. But at the same time, and this is a paradox, Daryl, still remaining vulnerable to be in relationship, no matter if they're an acquaintance or a close friend or spouse for that matter, or children, our own children. We need to learn how to do that. And I'm wondering, because I know you, I'm sure you went through similar types of situations as you were growing up, how you learned how to, and maybe the word protecting is the wrong word, but I'm going to use it here. You change it. How did you learn how to protect yourself and not take those kinds of things in?
Well, I believe it's an everyday education. I believe that today there is so much knowledge out there that we can continue to educate ourselves. And so I have to admit that when I went to school, I didn't really think that I cared to read. And it's an admittance that I'm not very proud of. But when I graduated from high school, I had never read one book from cover to cover. And then all of a sudden, I understood that I did like to read if I enjoyed the topic I was reading about.
Mm-hmm.
And that I believe that every day we have to continue to educate ourselves. We have to read. We have to learn and take in more And, you know, you were talking about how other people affect your life. And, you know, as, let's say, as parents, I've never had any children, but, you know, a lot of people do have children. And I think to myself, one of the things I said in my book is, you know, when you're talking to your children and you say to yourself, I did something wrong, and I think, oh, man, how stupid could I be? And I did this. And you might say that in front of your children. And then your children think, if my dad is stupid, then I must be also. If they hear you say those kinds of things, children learn from example, not from what they're told. And so I believe that that is a foundation stone, is we have to be saying things in our own head that allows us to be more positive and healthy, so that we can make an example to other people that may not have that positive, healthy information. And so every day, if you decide to change your life, you start making a decision that you're going to read something every day that's positive, healthy information that's going to really feed your mind in that positive, healthy way. And that really is the start of it. And one of the things that I also say in my book is that we have to learn to take pride in ourselves. And one of the little statements that I've made is, the pride we take in ourselves is the most important of all. Even if your boss doesn't have pride in you, if you have pride in yourself and you say to yourself, I am going to be proud every day, I'm not going to do things that are not going to make me proud, then no matter what someone else says, you understand that just like you said, that's their issue, that's not yours. I am proud of me, and I will not do anything that does not allow me to continue to be proud of myself. And that really makes a difference. You choose what you're going to put into your head, and you choose what you are going to think. Because if we don't choose to think good, healthy, positive thoughts, someone else will put all kinds of negativity into our head if we allow it. And I choose not to allow it.
Let me, if I may, play the devil's advocate and say that, that's sort of a Pollyanna attitude in that you're not living in the real world. There's all kinds of stuff that we need to be aware of that's going on around us, and somehow that's going to help us to be better citizens and to get involved and on and on. And as you know, the whole description goes on and on. But your response to that kind of statement?
Well, as you and I have talked in the past, you know that chapter 2 of my book is my story. And so when I tell that story, I tell it in a way that is talking about where I came from and where I've been able to take myself. And I've had what I consider to be a magical life. I've had so many positive things that have happened to me and so many great things that I feel like my life has been exceptional. I would say that I feel like I have had such a great life, and I continue to have that great life. But I say the very first words that I say in that chapter 2 is, let me just say, before I tell you all of this great stuff about my life, that I have filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy 3 times in my life, and I've been broke several times in between. And so just because I filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy, just because I went broke, because I made what most people would call a mistake, and I lost everything I had several times. But I believe that does not define me as a human being. what defines me is that I get back up and I go back after it, and I do not let that incident keep me down. If I choose to think every day, I've learned more information. Every day of my life, I have gotten smarter. And the one thing that can never take away from me is everything that I have learned and everything that I know. And so if I've had some success, I go back and I look at that success and I build on that success again. I don't let the fact that I lost everything I had and I'm walking away with $50 in my pocket, and several times I walked away with no vehicle, but I said, I will get back on my feet. I'll find a way. I immediately, if I've lost everything, the first thing I do is I go out and find a job. And I believe that no matter who you are and no matter what you have, there is a job, no matter. I remember one time, not too many years ago, I went through a scenario. You know, it was a few years ago, but I went through a scenario one more time that I lost everything that I had. And I literally, the next day, I said to myself, hey, I've got to eat. I've got to get back on my feet. I went over to the local Home Depot, and I started working for $9.50 an hour as a stock clerk, in a way, helping people find whatever was in Home Depot. And I worked there for about 4 months as I rebuilt myself and reused the education that I had to get back on my feet and start back over again. And within 1 year of working at Home Depot, I was already back to buying houses and fixing them up and reselling them, and I was already back to, within 18 months, I was buying millions of dollars worth of houses and doing millions of dollars worth of rehabs from 18 months earlier, being stone cold broke, working at Home Depot for $9.50. But you see, I'd educated myself. I'd read and I'd read and I'd read till I was an expert at buying houses and fixing them up and reselling them. And so I lost everything, so that meant I had to start over again. But within 18 months, I was back full force doing it again and again and again.
Well, I remember hearing the phrase that it's built into the system and there should be no concern on one's part as to following through with something like that, because sometimes, you know, certain things happen in our lives, and that's part of the legal system, if you will, in terms of finance, that allows us to start over again. There's a wonderful, I don't know that too many people know about this, but believe it or not, in the Old Testament, in Jewish law, it's part of the process where every 7 years, and this is under the Old Testament, every 7 years, all debts are wiped clean. Now, that doesn't mean during that 7 years you can rack up all the debt you want. But it means that if you have gotten yourself into a situation, don't worry, because in 7 years, the slate will be wiped clean. You get to start over again. And hopefully you won't make the same mistakes that you made then and that you made before. And you'll be more successful the second or third time around. I mean, it's just, and I thought, wow, that seems like such a logical thing. Of course, the best thing would be not to get into debt in the first place, not to have to live in that process. But hey, this is the present economic system under which we operate. And so, I mean, it's kind of like, so there you go. So use the tools at your disposal. Maybe you don't have to do a 7. Maybe you could do an 11. I guess that's the other one where it's sort of reorganization and so forth. But I know people who have done this. We know of presidential candidates who have done this a number of times as well. So it's not, and at the same time, you have to ask yourself, well, If this individual is so successful, how is it they had to do that 2 or 3 or however many times it is? you know, it seems to me like they seem to be making the same mistakes over and over again, you know, that they didn't learn the first or second time. I'm curious, you know, what your thoughts are in that regard to someone who, and I remember a conversation I had with my brother where I shared with him some insights that I had come to. And he says, well, gee, and this was at the age of 33, half a lifetime ago. And he says, it's about time you got it. You're 33 years old. And I said, I turned to him and I said, no, Mike, it's not when I get it, but that I get it. So I'm curious as to what are your thoughts on that kind of repetition, especially in business, but even just in our day-to-day lives, where it seems like we keep repeating the same mistakes. We're not making any. It seems like we're not making any progress.
Well, you mentioned earlier in the conversation that sometimes things happen that are out of our control. And I'll use a really good example that most people are going to remember vividly today. Back in 2007, 2008, the Wall Street bankers were selling so many different types of securities and you know, derivatives and whatever other kinds of, you know, bank notes that really weren't bank notes, and on and on and on, and all of a sudden, the whole world crashed. Now, if you happen to have been a victim of that, I used to tell people, I did not make the world melt down. That was not me. That was a whole group of other people that helped the world melt down, and so many people lost so much during that. You know, they call it the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. Rather than the Great Depression, they called it the Great Recession. We, as an individual, did not cause that to happen. And so, because we became a part of that, and I don't want to use the word victim, we became a part of that. We may have lost everything we had because of that Great Recession. That doesn't mean I made that happen. Those were things that happened to a lot of people that were beyond their control. But so many people, when they've had something like that happen, they feel the weight of all of that, and they look at themselves in the mirror and they say, wow, you really screwed up. You're toast. You're history. You're just going to have to learn to live an existence of a life of whatever that might mean. And I choose to say, yes, I may have made some poor choices that didn't allow me to be more financially secure, and I'm using this as an example, during that particular time. And so maybe I could have made some better choices, but I can't look at that and say, I'm toast, I'm done, I'm never going to be able to get back up again. I have to look at it and say, you know what? Those are unfortunate situations, but that is not going to define me. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to reorganize my life, I'm going to reevaluate my life, and I'm going to write out a brand new plan of where am I going to go tomorrow. And then I get back up and I start working towards that direction. And just like I mentioned with the Home Depot story, I worked at Home Depot for 3 or 4 months before I was able to find a lender that said, I know what you've done before. I don't care that you filed for bankruptcy. I'm gonna back you in getting back into this business because I know you know what you're doing. Yes, everybody got caught in that situation. But 18 months later, I was buying millions of dollars worth of real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot let, you know, people will say, well, I failed. I made a mistake that took me under, and those were things that I did that really were my fault. And I say, you know what? I may have made some of those choices, but I choose not to say that I'm done, I'm over, I've made a mistake, I can't go forward. I'd say those were learning experiences for me, and I love to learn and look at what I've learned from all of that and what can I do to apply that to my plan of where I'm going now.
Yeah, it's and by the way, there's a great quote. There's a great quote from, I believe it was Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb. And it was said that it was a question asked of him because it took, I think it was like 990 different versions of the light bulb before he came up with the one that worked. And the question was asked of him, well, you know, you failed 990 times. And he said, no, I just found 990 ways that the light bulb didn't work. And then I found the one that did. And to him, if it's an accurate quote, to him, it wasn't a failure. It took me 990 times to find the right combination of things.
Those were all learning experiences that brought him to the point of getting to the light bulb that actually did work.
Mm-hmm.
And he learned and he learned and he learned until he learned the right combination that made that light bulb work. And look at what that has done for the world. I believe that every one of us has an enormous amount of greatness within us if we choose to educate ourselves and bring that greatness out and bring it out to the world. I believe that every one of us can help change the world.
I can agree with that 100%. It's the question. The question, though, is, are we willing to do it and step out and make it happen? Because, quite honestly, if we don't, we are, in a manner of speaking, and I say this loosely, in a manner of speaking, we're letting down the rest of humanity. You know, does that make sense?
It absolutely does. And, you know, there's a statement that you can choose to allow circumstances to control your life, or you can choose to control the circumstances and you will control your life. And, you know, we don't always have absolute control, but we have control of what we think, and we can choose to think a different way. We can choose to read and educate ourselves to think in a positive, healthy way that will allow us to change the world.
Well, I just think that it's you know, we're missing a great opportunity when we don't do that, when we let those opportunities slip by. And I'm going to be the first one to admit here, you know, I've let some of those go by. I mean, we all have. But what's that?
I have made mistakes in my life. If you want to call them mistakes, I choose to call them learning experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But I've made some of those unfortunate choices that I didn't take advantage of something, or I did something that I probably knew that I shouldn't have, but I did it anyhow and ended up having to start over again. But it all starts with the decision to say, I am going to change the way I think. I am going to change the way that I get up in the morning. I'm going to change the way that I react to what others say or do to me. I am going to take control of my thoughts and my life. No one else is going to control that from this day forward.
Well, I think that once we start doing that for ourselves, It's going to go a long way to help to improve the world. And of course, this is all, this program's all about choices. As we say, we're here to give people choices and knowledge of those choices. If you don't know those choices even exist, how can you choose them?
Right.
It's one of the things that you know, I'm constantly talking to people about. It's like, you know, and I'm sure that there are some people who are very perplexed by that slogan. What do you mean? Choices and knowledge of those choices. Well, that's why I am probably, I like to think of myself as one of the biggest proponents of education, but not the education that we're getting in our schools today. I've seen some things, some reports on various types of institutions that are actually doing more harm than good for our population, for our people, for our children in particular. And it's really, quite honestly, it's very disheartening. But at the same time, I have to say that I went through grade school and high school. I did 3 years of or 3 semesters of junior college. And then I went to a 6-month vocational school back in 1980. Got my certificate or degree or whatever it is, the diploma. And I've probably learned more on the job. And a lot of places, you know, they don't allow that. It's like, well, you need experience to get the job. Well, how am I supposed to get experience if I can't get a job to get the experience? You know, the old catch-22. But I am such a firm believer in education because our... I believe that we need to be giving people choices and as many choices as we can. I just feel really strongly about that.
One of the things that I really like to make sure that I never forget to say is in today's society, we have more access to more information than we've ever had in the history of the world. Google has every piece of information that you could possibly imagine. And as long as you can go ask the library, the wherever you might be, I mean, people have smartphones today in massive millions. If you can Google, you can ask Google anything you want to know. And between Google and YouTube, there is so much education out there. If somebody has videotaped a YouTube of how to do practically anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I really believe that if we want to, we can educate ourselves with Google and YouTube and so on more than we've ever been able to do before in life.
Well, I'll tell you that my wife and I, we upgraded our phones, but unfortunately she inadvertently cracked the lens of her camera. And so I went on YouTube to see if I couldn't find a video that showed me how to replace it. And once I saw the video, I thought, okay, so then I went to Google and I looked for the replacement parts. I mean, then they were pennies on the dollar. I mean, they were like maybe $2 or $3 for the replacement parts. And the video was very clear and it was very easy and I did it. And so we were able to return the phones that we were turning in good condition. So I saved us some money in that regard. And it was actually kind of fun. I actually had a great sense of pride in that respect and being able to do that. So absolutely, you're absolutely right in that regard, Daryl, that it doesn't take much. One of the things that I would like to say to you is thank you. Thank you. Thank you for not only your time on this program, but for what you're doing for other folks and this gratitude coin. Go to his website, DarylNoak.com, and we'll give you the website specifics. I'll spell it out for you in a moment. But again, thank you so much for what you're doing for all of us and to encourage all of us to do our part. It's just, I really do appreciate it. And if you can find it in your heart to depart from the hot rocks of Scottsdale, Arizona, and find yourself here in Santa Barbara, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
Well, I definitely believe that Santa Barbara is one of the most beautiful places on the face of the earth. And so that would definitely be something I would be happy to do and come say hello and be in person there.
We'd love it. Also, let our listeners know the website, in regards especially to the book, Mastering a Healthy Self-Image, The Guidebook to Real Happiness and Enormous Success. The website is Darrell Knoch, that's DarrellKnoch.com. Find out all about Darrell, the book, and other things that are going on in his life. I'm sure there's a blog and other things of that nature. Those are some of the things I haven't quite gotten into just yet, Darrell, but I know that they're on the horizon for me somewhere along the way. Before we wrap up the program, I have three final questions for you, and I don't know that I asked these questions back in 2012. I may have, but they've been modified a little bit, so bear with me. First question is, who is Darrell Knoch?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that I'm a happy, healthy human being. And, you know, I find that doing things for others makes me happier than anything I could ever do for myself. You know, I find that, you know, I've had some financial success, but I obviously want to take care of myself. I believe that we have to take care of ourselves in order to take care of others. But and once we have that foundation of being able to take care of ourselves, even if you can do the smallest thing for someone that helps their life be a little bit better, that is a great addition to society. I like to do things for other people. I'm happier doing something for somebody else than I am for doing it for myself. I'm just a guy that's had some different experiences in life, but I'm just a guy, and that's who I am. I'm just a guy.
Okay. What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
I like to bring a smile to people's faces as I go through my day. And so if I can bring out a smile on one person each day, that they may have had a hard day, they may have had some circumstances that wasn't as, you know, pleasing as they'd hoped, and I can help them smile one more time that day, that really is my goal for the day.
And what is your life's purpose?
That's a good question. I'd have to think about that. My life's purpose, I guess being a happy, healthy human being is my life's purpose. My foundation of being happy and healthy can help me help others. And so that's my life purpose, is for me to be a happy, healthy human being.
Well, Darrell Knoch, I want to again thank you so much for sharing this time with us here on the program. And we encourage folks to go to your website, Darrell Knoch, that's DarrellKnoch.com, and check out all the information, all of the various things that you have available. And you know, the one thing we did not talk about, I'm going to open this up very quickly. The one thing we haven't talked about is you have a university.
Well, I have to say that I have limited the amounts of that I'm doing at this point in time. Mm-hmm. I have had the opportunity to have bring some other people into my life that I've been able to share my life a little differently, and so I'm not doing the university as much anymore. Mm-hmm. I do like to promote the book, because you can go on Amazon and you can get a copy of my ebook for very little money, and you can read about my experiences, read about the things that I believe that have made me a happy, healthy, prosperous human being, and that hopefully people can learn from that. But that's been my focus these days, is to promote the book more than me personally being out there doing it with people on a day-to-day basis.
Well, again, I want to thank you for taking time to share with us, and we look forward to talking with you again as we get into deeper into 2017, and let's just stay in touch.
Okay, sounds good.
I'm Richard.
I appreciate it, Richard.
You're very welcome. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.